Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 26 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 26. Let's look to our Lord before we look to His Word. Father, we thank You for the privilege that it is to study Your Word. We thank You for the truth that You have communicated to us. And thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit to enable us to understand and apply Your truth. I pray that You would help that to be the case today, that we would not just hear Your Word, but we would respond to it in obedience, apply it to our lives, change us from the inside out to be more like Your Son. Help me to clearly explain this passage and just use this for Your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you my message this morning is, why find wisdom? Why find wisdom? Why do you try to find things that you've lost? What usually prompts it? Sometimes you don't even know it's long been lost for a while, and then you go looking for it. But why do you go looking for it? Because you need it. It's like you finally, oh, wait, I need that. And now you discovered that they are lost. Recently, we discovered that we had lost the king and queen of our black king and queen to our chess set. And we have searched all over the house. We still have not found the black king and queen because we wanted to play chess. And we haven't been able to do that. Now, thankfully, I did have a spare set in the basement, so we haven't been totally hampered in our desires to play chess, but we're missing that. You search for something because you want it, you want to use it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 26 tells us why one should search for wisdom, why should find wisdom so we can use it. And we should listen to this encouragement to find wisdom today in order to be able to use it, apply it to our lives. A week ago, we learned from our study of the book of Proverbs how about contradictions to live by, from understanding the oxymorons of being wise to fear, that we should fear the Lord and depart from evil, not trust in ourselves. And when we do, the result is health and strength. And then the next, to give to get. When you honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that we have, the result is plenty of harvest. This is God's investment plan, as we saw. And then lastly, that we should love correction. Don't despise the rebuke from God, because really, it's a result of knowing that God loves us or not. Just like He earthly fathers discipline their sons, how much more our Heavenly Father who disciplines us? It's a mark of His love, not that He hates us. Now Solomon continues instructing his son on the need to find wisdom for living, from which we should learn. Why to find wisdom? By realizing three reasons for this in verses 13 through 16 here. Now, just a note here, chapter 3 began the third parental appeal, and he's kind of wrapping that up and introducing a fourth one, which we will get into, and that will be kind of the second half of the chapter here. But I also want to remind you, too, of our definition of wisdom. Remember, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. It's not enough to just know things. We have to know how to apply it to our lives. And that is important as we think about why we should find wisdom. First reason for finding wisdom is that it is valuable for satisfaction in verses 13 through 18. He says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So it opens with this statement about the blessings. So happy, blessed, those are synonyms. You could also say, joy, whatever. You know, this is what comes when you find wisdom. Think of Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Right? There's results of doing things God's way. And the man who gains or obtains wisdom. What are some of the results? First, verse 14 through 15. There is that she is better than silver and fine gold and precious rubies. She is better than the profits of silver or benefits or proceeds, and her gain more than fine gold. This isn't just regular gold. This is like the best gold, the purest gold. It's an expression that's used throughout the book of Proverbs as the best gold. Especially, also you think of Psalm 19, the word of God being compared to, this is better than fine gold or choice gold and honey in the honeycomb. There it talks about chapter 31. He's going to compare it to a virtuous wife is better than this. Into the rubies here, verse 15. He compares the virtuous wife to rubies, and then he wraps it up with a statement: "And all things that you may desire cannot compare with her." So anything you could think of that might be better, it's not. Wisdom is better than that, as Solomon is arguing for that here. Now, it's interesting. Remember Solomon, what was his request of the Lord when he became king? He asked for wisdom. And yet, as we think about the next verse, it says, "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor." So the results of wisdom, finding wisdom, is that you get a long life and riches and honor. What did God tell Solomon he would give him because he asked of wisdom? A long life, riches and honor. So Solomon has experience with this. He knows what it's like to seek the best thing first, and God supplies the others. You see, most of us, I mean, if you think about it, you don't just want to live a long life, do you? Because if you have a long life that's filled with suffering and poverty, even you want just a long life, you don't want a poor life. You want a long life that is filled with peace, happiness, and you know, at least a measure of wealth that you can enjoy life. Later in the book of Proverbs, you know, the one of the other writers is going to say, "Give me neither poverty nor riches," because there are temptations that come with both, right? You want something kind of in the middle that you can enjoy life and not have to be stooped to the problems of poverty or too much. But you also don't want a life that's just, you got long life, you have riches, but you don't have anyone that really praises you or enjoys having you around, right? You want honor that goes with that. You want people to enjoy you. There's people that will look up to you. And you see that play out in the life of Solomon as God gives him, he asks for wisdom, God gives him long life, riches, and honor. And those are things that we naturally want, and those come from wisdom. But it gets even better. Verse 17, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness or delightfulness, and all her paths are peace." It's a word there for shalom, the idea of completeness or soundness. This is the result of wisdom in your life, is that life is pleasant. Life is filled with peace. Why is that? Because the person who has wisdom knows how to handle relationships where you can have peace. There's biblical truth that tells us how to be a peacemaker and teaches us and trains us how to get along with others. Dwell at peace as much as it depends on you, as Romans 12 says. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Right? Blessed meaning happy. There is a delightedness or a pleasant life that is filled with peace. Another result of wisdom. Also says that then verse 18, this is the culmination. "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her." Those who hold on, those who seize, they keep her. It's yours. It is your, you have obtained as a possession. It's the idea. Notice there's this reference to a tree of life. Now, we think of tree of life, we think of the Garden of Eden, right? The tree of life that if you ate of it, you would live forever. Now, it seems as if Adam and Eve didn't eat of it, and instead they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after that, God banned them from, kicked them out of the garden to keep them from eating of the tree of life, which actually is an expression of God's grace. Because think about that. If they become sinners by eating, disobeying God and eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they'd eaten of the tree of life, what would have happened? They'd live forever as sinners. Think how horrible that would be if our world was filled with all the sinners of the past. And even our own lives, you know, we toy around with the idea of living forever, but it really would be horrible if you had no escape from this life and all of its suffering and all the horrible things. Because, I mean, Moses, who talks about the measure of our life being 70 years, and if by reason of strength, in Psalm 90 there, he says, you reach 80 years, what happens? You just see more pain and suffering. I mean, life, it's harder. I mean, you have less and less resources to handle the trials of life, and you've seen so much. That's not the kind of life we want. Not the kind of life that God planned. He wants to give us everlasting life, right? I mean, you see the tree of life is, you find it again in Revelation chapter 22. And there it is a life-giving, it gives healing to the nations. But there it is, people who have been washed, cleansed, their sins have been forgiven, and now they're confirmed in righteousness and holiness forever. Then it will be a good thing. So this is not a reference to that tree, because it's a tree of life, not the tree of life. But there are similar qualities. It is wisdom is being compared, and again, and notice, if you haven't noticed, it's been using personal or pronouns or feminine pronouns to talk of wisdom, much like back in chapter 1 and how she was wisdom as a woman who's calling out in the streets. And throughout the book of Proverbs, she is personified as the woman of wisdom. And she gives these benefits. But the similarities to that tree is that it gives life to those who take hold of her. When you follow wisdom, which is God's way, you find life, right? How do you find life? It's through the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we do come to Him, we find life. And we don't just find survival. We don't find a long life. We find a life filled with peace and happiness and joy and contentment and all of these things that God promises. Remember Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. This is why happy are those who retain her. God wants you to be happy. But where does true happiness found? It's only found in Him and seeking Him and obtaining Him through His Word. This is why it is the way of wisdom. So wisdom is valuable for satisfaction. There are some things in life that are satisfying, right? Good chocolate is satisfying. Right? How many would you agree? All right, all the ladies, put up your hand. Right? What are some good chocolates? I want to see what you think are good chocolates. All right, anything milk chocolate? Do you have particular brands? Oh, CC's? Just C's candy. All right, that wasn't on my list, but yeah, there's the... What's that? Ritter, Toblerone, all right. What's that? Glender? Lender. All right. Man, Ghirardelli. Okay, there's one of the ones I was thinking of. But Cadbury? Dove? How many of you like those truffles? The Lindt truffles, right? And they always, especially at Christmas and Valentine's Day, they like to promote those. You eat one of those, you can only eat a few of those, and you're like, I am satisfied, right? They're so rich. How many of you had the let's see if I can say this, Ferrero Rocher? Okay, did I say it right? Ferrero Rocher. Rocher, so. I'm not French, so I don't know, whatever. Right? That's French. But, I mean, we think of good chocolate, we think of something that satisfies. Not just, I mean, you can eat candy bars all day long, in a sense, right? You can eat a lot of those types of chocolates, especially more of the milk chocolate. But you get some of those really rich chocolates, and you can only eat so much because it satisfies. You know, it really gets that, you know, my wife, I have to keep her supplied, especially with the dark, dark chocolates. You know, when you have that chocolate craving, it's the dark, dark chocolates that really satisfy. Do you realize that wisdom is even more satisfying than the best chocolate? Do you see how it is better than any riches or anything that you would compare to her? And really, it's only a lie of Satan to think that sin is better than God's way. That's what he got Eve to believe, though, right? Genesis 3. And yet we know Jesus tells us that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning, so we should be on guard against him. Do you understand how wisdom gives long life, riches, and honor? And if we will learn the lessons from her, it is much quicker than learning from life's teacher. I like that quote I heard last week. Experience is getting the wisdom you need right after you need it. I don't want to learn that way. If I can learn, shortcut that part, I mean, this is the ultimate life hack, right? Is jump right to the answers. It's found on God's Word. Wisdom, the way of wisdom. This is why if we learn in life, you learn from people who teach you from God's Word, that we, you know, invest early. I mean, you learn early good communication and how to love others and serve others. That keeps you from waking up one day and you finding out, no, I didn't have insurance. I didn't have no plan for retirement. I'm not ready for marriage. I'm not ready for parenting. You know, I haven't learned how to handle money or a phone or the freedom that I now have. You've learned too late, and that's a hard way to learn. If we will turn to God's Word and find the way of wisdom, we will learn before we need it. And it results is long life, riches, and honor. Do you realize the pleasant and peaceful ways that wisdom leads to? Life is much calmer. It's more delightful. Instead of the turmoil of always seeking our own way, what does James 4 say? Where do wars and fights come from? Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war within your members? You want something and you can't get it, so you go to war to get it. It's happening in the world right now, right? It's what Russia. But on a smaller scale, that happens sometimes in our own hearts and in our own homes. And it destroys our marriages. It destroys our families. It destroys our workplaces. And it's destroying our society. As we're all in it for ourselves rather than God's way. You know, the peace that God promises, John 14:27 says, peace I bring, not as the world gives. But it's true peace. It's not just the absence of conflict, this uneasy truce. No, it is true harmony. And it is only a result of God and doing things His way. Do you see the ultimate life and happiness that wisdom gives when you cling to her? And that's not, I mean, it starts now, as Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of God, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Psalm talks about there's blessings now, but there's also blessings in eternity. And if you don't seek God's way, you're going to lack happiness now, and you're ultimately going to be facing judgment on the day of judgment. So cling to her now. Have you done that? Have you found the way of wisdom through Jesus Christ? Have you found life that only comes through Him by trusting in Jesus Christ alone? If not, I would urge you to do that today. Don't trust in yourself, the way that only leads to pain and destruction and eternal torment. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you trust in Him, it says He will give you that life. It says that God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the way. Will you cling to it? Do you see how wisdom is valuable for satisfaction? That's the first reason to find wisdom. Second reason to find wisdom, wisdom is valuable for survival. Here in verses 19 and 20, it says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew." It's kind of like, what is He talking about all of a sudden? He's been talking about the benefits of wisdom, and then He says, all right, the Lord, by wisdom, made everything, right? He founded the earth, or established it, and by His understanding, He established the heavens. So that the heavens and the earth, I mean, the universe, everything, God made it all. What did He use? He used wisdom. The wisdom is the right application of knowledge, so God knew rightly how to make everything and how to make it all perfectly work together and function. And we still see this today. The more we study God's creation, the more we see the wisdom of how He made everything. And it doesn't matter the circumstances you put animals in or you put people in, God's made it so that we adapt. How amazing is that? Now, that's not evidence of evolution. That's evidence of God's wisdom and His design, of the way God has made the world. And the closer you look at it, the more you see it. The farther you zoom out, the more you see it. And this is a good example of this. I know I've shared these with you before, but fractals, right? These mathematical equations, the more you zoom in on things and it just keeps reduplicating in these beautiful pictures. And you go into the atoms and the cells and all these, you see how perfectly God has designed everything. And you zoom out and you look at the universe, you look at that the stars and the galaxies, and they're amazing, they're beautiful, these gas clouds. This is why the Scripture says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night declares knowledge." Psalm 19. This is the wisdom of God, but it goes beyond that. It says, "By His knowledge, the depths were broken up," literally ripped up. It is the sea, the abyss. When did that happen? It's in the flood, right? The fountains of the deep were broken open. How is that God's wisdom that He broke open the fountains of the deep to start the flood? Because God knew perfectly what had to happen for the world to start again. And He started it by breaking open the fountains of the deep. And even though it was one of the greatest examples of judgment on our world, it gave the world a chance to reset. And God started over with Noah and his family. 8 godly individuals. Because things had gotten so horrible. Gotten to the point that man did what was right in his own eyes. And his every thought was wicked or evil continually. I mean, we think today is bad. It was far worse in that day. And God gave the world a second chance. By His knowledge, He did that. Not only that, the clouds dropped down the dew. How is this evidence of God's wisdom? Well, God knows exactly how much moisture everything needs and when they need it. And you know, we kind of freak out when there's been a drought for so long. But eventually, the rain comes again. God supplies for His creation. And this is the only planet that we've found that has the right combination of things to sustain life. One of those key ingredients is moisture, regular moisture. Not too much, not too little. He keeps the sea in its bounds. Yet there's the whole hydrological cycle. You know, the evaporation and the rains and the moistures and the snows. As much as we complain about them sometimes, the weather, We'd like to talk about the roads and the weather, right? But that's all part of God's wisdom. It's important for our survival, really. If we didn't have the moisture of God from God, regular intervals, we wouldn't be able to sustain life here. God perfectly made this world. He even reset this world, and He sustains it on a day-by-day basis. This is all evidence of the wisdom of God. And throughout Scripture, it talks about God's wisdom and how God is so wise. Daniel 2:20. Nebuchadnezzar recognizing that God is wise. Romans 11:33 and 16:27, they're part of the Paul's declaring the glory of God, and he mentions His wisdom. He alone who is wise, as Jude says, Jude 25. I like how 1 Corinthians 1:25 talks about how the wisdom of God is so much greater than our wisdom. In fact, at God's stupidest point, He is way worlds above our smartest point, is what that passage talks about. That's the wisdom of God. This is why He knew exactly how to make the world. He knew how to judge the world, and He knows how to sustain the world. He gives us what we need. These are all flowing out of God's wisdom. Wisdom is valuable for survival. You know, survival tools are marketed as often as all-around tools. Like, you know, you need this and it'll work in a number of situations. And so you keep them around. If you remember my survival shovel that I shared with you one time, I keep this in my van. And, you know, it has a number of features on it that you can put it together. You know, it's got a saw and you got wrench holes and you can cut and chop. And, you know, each of the handle parts has another piece to it. I mean, you got your fishing spear and, you know, there's I think, a compass in here. And, you know, there's screwdrivers and, you know, breaking points and things like that. I mean, that's just one survival tool. I mean, another one that that got me is the life straw. Does anyone know what a life straw is? Right? This is a straw that you can put it into any water and suck it. Doesn't matter how nasty the water is, and it'll purify it as you drink it. It's a pretty cool concept. So I keep one around. You know, you never know. It's one of those Amazon deals, right, that gets you. Now, the one that my wife and I have been starting to watch MacGyver again, and the Swiss Army knife, right? I mean, that's like his ultimate survival. He can use that thing for anything. You know, and I carry one all the time. I've carried one ever since I think it was probably, like, I don't remember exactly when I got it, actually. I think it was probably 8. I've carried it ever since, and I use it in all sorts of circumstances. You know what? As great as these survival tools are, wisdom is a far better survival tool. It is God's ultimate survival tool. It is always what we need, when we need it, whatever situation we're in. Do you understand that if God needed wisdom to create the perfect world for us, properly judge the world in the flood, and regularly supply us with its needs of moisture, then we certainly need it. Right? I mean, if God needs it, we need it far more. Are you seeking the wisdom that comes from Him when you need it? So James 1 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, what do you need to do? Ask of Him who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Not doubting, not wavering, but ask in faith. And the promise is that God will give it to you. Do you realize this starts by asking Him to meet our greatest need? That's salvation. That's the wisest thing you can ever do. Is to ask God to rescue you, recognizing you can't save yourself. But it doesn't stop there. It is asking Him for guidance each and every day, like Matthew 7 says, ask, seek, knock. And if you do, He'll give it to you. Because he's a good father who delights to give good gifts to his children. He's not going to give you a stone when you ask for a piece of bread. He's not going to give you a serpent when you ask for a fish. He's going to give you what you need. So Philippians 4 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." According to, not out of. Big difference. Are you doing that? Are you asking God for wisdom every day? Because we need it, right? What part of the Lord's Prayer, or the learner's prayer, is what? Give us this day our daily bread. You know, supply our daily needs. And our daily bread isn't just what we eat. What did Jesus say in the temptation? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to depend on Him for not just our physical needs, but our spiritual needs each and every day. And if COVID should have taught us anything, is how much we need Him spiritually. We need each other. We need the way that He has planned things. Do you see how wisdom is valuable for our survival? Second reason. Third reason, wisdom is valuable for security. In verses 21 through 26 here. Solomon here, in his fourth parental appeal, says, "My son," much like he said before in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, he's going to say it in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. You know, he's telling him, "Listen up, pay attention. Let them not depart from your eyes." What? It's the wisdom, the knowledge, the instruction from God. "Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Later in chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, he says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them." That's where he goes next, right? "They will be your life to your soul and grace to your neck." Not only do we need it, it brings life inside and it adorns us. I've talked about this before as back in chapter 3. As we write them on the tablet of our heart, verse 3, and it says, "And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." God's grace is shown to us. It is like chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Will there be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck?" They will make you attractive. They will adorn you. Then, here's the results. "Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble." It'll keep you from stumbling and you'll know where the clear way to walk is. "When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. You'll be filled with dread." When you go to sleep at night, it's your most vulnerable time, right? This is why when people attack, when the wars break out, when does it usually start? During the night. When do robbers attack? During the night. That's just a common fact. And he's saying here, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Sweet dreams. You have nothing to fear. And this is the place of the righteous person. They don't have to sit there on their bed and their conscience is bothering them. They're afraid of what's to come and the terrors that could happen to them and so-and-so breaking in that I've offended and my enemies are attacking. No, you don't have to fear any of that. Why? "Do not be afraid of the sudden terror, nor of the trouble from the wicked one when it comes." He's not saying that it won't come. He's saying you don't have to be afraid of it. Why? Verse 26, "For the Lord will be your confidence. He'll be your strong tower. He'll be your refuge, your strength." And Isaiah 41:10 and Psalm 91, verse 9, talk about that, and many of the Psalms. "And will keep your foot from being caught." Keep you from being snagged and snared and stumbling. You see the security that comes when we keep a hold of wisdom in our lives. God's way. Don't be afraid. Even though, will tough times come? Yes. Will there be bad things that happen to us as Christians? Yes. But do we have to be afraid? No. Because we are, the Lord is our confidence. He is our refuge. And I would remind you, these are general principles that he's talking about here throughout the book of Proverbs. I mean, there's things that happen to us. God allows exceptions. I mean, just you see that in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? God can keep us from this. But even if he doesn't, even if he lets us be killed, we still won't serve. They could have confidence because they knew who their God was. And so can we. Wisdom is valuable for security. How many of you have heard of Simply Safe before? You probably listen to the radio, don't you? It's one of those things that's advertised a lot. Simply Safe. I actually never had seen a picture of it. But basically, you know, these are wireless sensors you put across all over your house. These go on windows and doors and that kind of thing. And it will set off alarms once it's all set up, you know, and notify you. You can set it up to notify the police, whatever, you know. It's a great little system. Doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. A system like this, I think, is $300 to $400. And you can have some measure of security in your home. It was a great system. You know what a better system is? A far better system? It's God's wisdom. That's the best security system. Do you see how it brings life and grace to you? Not just survival, but abundant living. As we love and serve others like Jesus, He's the one that showed us what true living is like. The life that comes from Him, it is abundant living. He gave His life for others, and He served. He came to serve and not to be served. And it's when you follow Him, that's when you experience the life that He wants. Rich, full life. But our tendency is to hurt others, to be selfish. And when we do, we you know, as Galatians 6 warns, watch out. When you are selfish, you don't love one another, you'll bite and devour one another. It'll come back on yourself. You see this with families and churches torn apart, relationships in ruins, as we focus on ourselves and seeking our own happiness rather than seeking God in His way. Do you understand how wisdom keeps us safely walking and from stumbling? Helps us to avoid relationship pitfalls and temptations. We have a number of booklets over on our display that help to walk through that. I mean, what about conflict? What about how to love difficult people? There's a number of things. I encourage you to check out some of those. Do you realize how God's wisdom, with God's wisdom, you don't need to fear the sudden terror or trouble from wicked people when it comes? God helps to prepare us for those trials. He helps us. So even when it does come, we know how to handle it. I've talked to you before about one of the booklets we have is Suffering and Sovereignty. And in there, the chart from Andy Stearns on how we have experiences about suffering. And the Bible gives reasons for suffering, right? He allows it. So he's trying to grow us, like James 1. Or it's for His glory, 1 Peter 4. Or He is preparing us to minister in somebody else's life, like 2 Corinthians 1. But we have to trust in the character of God if we are going to accept what the Bible says. So this is one of the tools that help to respond to suffering and the problem of evil in our lives. There's another one, Scripture for Coping with Grief and Loss. I'd like to give this to families who have gone through, lost a loved one. Scripture has words to say. It has instructions for us on how to handle that, to respond to that. In other words, peacemaking principles, responding to conflict biblically. This helps us to, you know, we all have conflict. How do you respond to that? What does the Bible have to say? How can we be like Christ in that? Living in a dangerous world, moving from fear to faith. When the fears threaten to overwhelm us, rather than paralyzing us, how can we learn to trust God even in the midst of a fearful time? What I like to give out is especially people in the hospital facing difficult days with hope, leaning on Jesus, and prayers and Scripture that help to turn our minds to go through that time, not just surviving, but thriving as God wants. There are so many more resources. So the goal is to have them there to use to help you and to help others that, as you minister to them. Do you see how wisdom is valuable for security? You know, today when we have questions, where do we go? Where do we usually go? Google, right? We go to the internet. You need something, you start shopping online. You need to brainstorm for ideas. Pinterest is great, right? I mean, you can get all sorts of ideas, even cooking videos, tool ideas, fix-it projects. There are all sorts of stuff. And we do that because we've found that it has practical results. Do you realize that we need to find wisdom from God first? We need to go to God for wisdom before we go to the internet. Because if you go to the internet first, I mean, the internet's only as good as the person using it, right? And you can end up in a lot of nasty places. You can find a lot of bad things and bad answers on the internet. Where's the only place you can go that you can trust? It's God and His Word. This is where we need to go if we are to find wisdom. Do you see how wisdom is valuable for satisfaction, for survival, and security in our lives? Will you seek it from God? We do this by going to His Word and through prayer. As James 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him go to ask of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration from God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, a person of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Even if you don't have the internet, you have a Bible, you have everything you need for life and godliness, as 2 Peter 1:3 tells us. As His divine power is given unto us, all things that pertain in life, for life and godliness. Will you seek it from God as a valuable, for the valuable commodity that it is? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for its challenge. Help us to seek wisdom from You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.